Good morning, church. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I suspect every one of you can recite that opening line of the 23rd Psalm from memory. There's something calming, soothing, reassuring when we read and speak and hear these words. But in a world full of clamoring voices, noise that can rub our minds, emotions, thoughts, and souls raw, the 23rd Psalm can get lost. But if found and taken hold of, it can be a huge, great, and strengthening means of grace. Today, we begin a new series, the 23rd, in which we will walk through this epic poem of King David. It is a poem that follows and flows out of David's life experience, his triumphs and tragedies, and everything in between. It is a poem about a friend and leader, a shepherd, who remained steadfast and faithful through it all. David begins his poem with an overarching, underpinning statement about God. God is my shepherd, therefore I will not be in want. David chose a familiar metaphor, familiar to him at least, to describe his experience and relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. David understood the role and lifestyle of a shepherd. In fact, there are several biblical writers who appear to understand the value of this metaphor and use it frequently to describe who God is in relationship to us, the sheep. Even Jesus used it, saying in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And right there, you have it encapsulated, the role and lifestyle of a shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his or her life for their sheep. Philip Keller, an author and shepherd himself, writes this about his role and life as a shepherd. He says, "The day I bought them," that is his first herd of sheep, "I also realized that this was but the first stage in a long-lasting endeavor in which from then on I would, as their owner, have to continually lay down my life for them if they were to flourish and prosper." I've had the privilege of studying and touring in the Middle East. The vast Judean wilderness is an amazing arid desert landscape in which to watch shepherds and their herds. Unlike here, where a herd of sheep might spend their days in lush, green, fenced-in pasture land, Judean wilderness sheep constantly move. They have to because the land is barren. The shepherd spends his or her full day with the sheep, watching them, corralling wanderers, carrying the young or wounded, ever watching for threats from predators, toxic waters, eroded cliffs, and steep ravines. Shepherding in the Judean wilderness is not an 8-to-5 job. Shepherding there is a life. It has to be this way because sheep don't naturally take care of themselves. In fact, it has been said, sheep are dumb. They might look cute and lovable, but they are subject to serious hoof problems and ailments. They startle easily, wander easily. They easily feed on things that are unhealthy and even toxic for them. And as such, frankly, they can be a whole lot like us, and we can be a lot like them. Sheep, in order to flourish, need a good shepherd to watch over and lead them. David's 23rd Psalm is a poetic hymn of praise to God's diligent good shepherding. The entire poem outlines the manner in which God spares no pain or cost for the welfare of his sheep. Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep from Luke chapter 15? It's another story, a parable, where the metaphor of sheep and shepherd are used. It's evening. The shepherd has herded the sheep into a protected area in the Judean wilderness. He's counting them, 97, 98, 99. Whoa, wait a minute, one is missing. He leaves the 99 in that protected enclosure and heads out into the night to look for the one sheep that has wandered away. Now, that sounds so nice and sweet, right? Some pictures of this parable seem to almost romanticize it, but if you've ever walked the terrain of the Judean wilderness, you would think that's nuts. You don't walk in the wilderness at night. The terrain is so severe, it can easily maim or kill you. I remember hiking in one area of the wilderness in the daylight. There were frequent times when erosion had cut through the narrow sheep-etched trails in the Judean wilderness, and the only way forward was to jump or leap across the eroded area. But even if you landed on the other side, you had to keep your balance, and if not, the slope of the land was so severe, you'd fall to certain and serious injury and even possible death. I remember hiking this terrain and rethinking the parable of the lost sheep. Gone was any romanticized image of this dedicated shepherd. My new thought was simply, I'll look for it in the morning, because there's no way I'm going out at night. It's too dangerous. The dumb animal wandered away on its own. Let it try to survive the night on its own. But the parable doesn't say that. The parable says the good shepherd goes out at night, and upon finding the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders and carries it back to the fold. Friends, now think about that. What happens when you carry a large, bulky, even moving, heavy object on your shoulders? Your center of balance shifts, and that makes walking, especially in the dark, feeling your way forward, possibly jumping from one section of trail to the other, it makes it very, even incredibly hard and more so dangerous. But this is what the Good Shepherd does. God spares no pain for the welfare of his sheep. You and I are that sheep. Whether in the protective hold at night or wandering in the wilderness, you and I are the sheep. And God will spare no pain, no cost to find us because we are his. We are God's creation, God's beloved, meant for relationship with him and meant for flourishing with him and with one another in life. Some of you will recognize Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. The King James Version puts it this way: He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Message translation puts it this way: God won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. Friends, this is Jesus. This is our God. He never falls asleep. He's not a snowbird God who disappears in the colder seasons of life. In love, he has fashioned you in his image. He has made you for relationship. You are the apple of his eye, and he will spare no pain or trouble to find you and bring you home so that you can live into the flourishing life that God intends for you and for all people in his good creation. This Jesus, who gladly takes on the name of Good Shepherd, says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he has come to us that we individually and communally might flourish, have abundant life. Because of this, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, God, my shepherd, is enough. Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, a brilliant Wesleyan theologian, once said, God doesn't want to be your all in all. He wants to be enough. Kinlaw understood that we are made for human relationships. We are made for justice. We are made for mercy and compassion. We are made for worship. We are made for beauty. We don't often have all these. In fact, as David later writes, we have seasons akin to dark valleys. We have times when our lives seem surrounded by types of enemies. We rarely have everything in balance. But even amidst these, the enemies, the dark valleys, God wants to be enough. John Wesley, as he faced his own dying moments, proclaimed God, his shepherd, is enough. His final words were simply, quote, "And best of all, God is with us," unquote. In death, which is not always an easy walk in the park, Wesley could say, yes, I'm dying. Yes, I have pain. Yes, there's an element of fear, but even with these, I will proclaim the overarching underpinning truth. God, my shepherd, is enough. David got that. Wesley got it. They got it because they knew cognitively and experientially they belong to God. They were God's own, God's beloved, and God is their shepherd. In my office is a beautiful pottery piece created by the monks at the Abbey of Gethsemane in Bardstown, Kentucky. Etched into the clay are these words, marked as God's own forever. Friends, I am marked. I was marked in my baptism. I am marked as I celebrate Holy Communion. I am marked as I meditate on Scripture and in prayer. I am marked as I reaffirm my vows of membership and discipleship. I am marked as I walk along the shores of Lake Michigan and revel in Creator's power and creativity and quietly yet profoundly sense His deep pleasure in me. In formal and informal ways, I am reminded that I am marked. I belong to Jesus. Do you know that you are marked? Do you know that God will spare no pain, no cost to put His mark on your life, to claim you as His beloved? When a shepherd receives new sheep, he takes his knife and will notch a mark in the sheep's ear. We need to ask ourselves, what marks me as a sheep, a follower of the shepherd Jesus? 20 years ago, I was appointed to serve a church that had drifted aimlessly for several decades in decline. One of the things we worked on was identifying the core values that motivate and animate us as a faith Christian church community. One of the values they embraced was this: we value full devotion to Jesus Christ as normative. Now think about that. Full devotion to Jesus as normative. The tragic truth, reality, is there are many who really never have come under the full direction or full leadership of Jesus. They may give lip service to "the Lord is my shepherd," but there's not been full allegiance to Jesus, my shepherd. They'll say, "the Lord is my shepherd," hoping that by merely saying it, they will enjoy the benefits of His care, yet without the need for full devotion or full allegiance to Jesus. They want the benefits of Jesus without the accountability, the cost of following Jesus. Yet, it is in following Jesus, first responding to His call of love and grace, and then learning to walk with Him, that we move toward full devotion, full allegiance. And it is in this journey we begin to experience that come what may, Jesus, my shepherd, is indeed enough. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen to Jesus' invitation to us, found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, as found in the Message Bible. It says this: Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Friends, this is an invitation to live as one marked by the Shepherd Jesus, one who begins and is walking with, working with, learning from, being formed by Jesus the Shepherd. And in this journey, which will have its dark valleys and present enemies, we learned with David that the overarching underpinning of our lives is that our Shepherd Jesus is enough. I want to invite you to join me in this month of November to slowly and purposefully read David's 23rd Psalm each day, and to invite the Holy Spirit to make this psalm your psalm, to make it a true and real mark in your life. Each day, take your favorite Bible and turn to the 23rd. Have it marked so you can easily find it. Slowly and intentionally read it out loud. After you've read it through once, read it through a second time. See if there's a word or phrase, an image, a sound, a smell, a sensation, a memory that stands out. Turn that over in your mind. Pray over it, offering it to God and asking the Lord to speak to you through it and about it. Is there something Jesus wants you to know, to embrace, to remember, to let go of, to celebrate, to weep over, to confess, or to claim? I want to invite you to start right now. Will you join me as together we say the 23rd Psalm? Let's do this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen.